Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who couldn't be more excited for today's show. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And boy, do we have a treat here today, because not only do we have a fantastic Survivor episode this week to talk about, but we have one of the great legends of Survivor here with us. And in my opinion, the greatest player to never win the game is here with us today. Here is the great Ceree Fields. Ceree, how are you?
Hi, Rob. I am wonderful. I'm excellent. How are you?
Very excited, Ceree. Really looking forward to being able to talk some Survivor with you here today. I thought we got such a fun episode on Wednesday night to get to talk about. So I'm looking forward to digging into that and everything else, you know, that we can get to here today. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. I just left work about an hour or so ago. I have no complaints. Zero. Life is grand.
Okay. Great to hear. Thank you for making some time. I know you are super busy. Unlike, you know, many other reality TV people, you work.
I do. I'm the perioperative system director for a 3-hospital system in New Jersey, and that comes with a lot.
Okay.
But I love it. I love it. I'm not complaining at all.
You do love Survivor. I think that's one of the things that's really cool about you, Ceree, where that I heard a story recently from some people that you showed up to a fan Survivor competition recently just to host a competition.
Yeah, it was called Brooklyn South, and it was their all-star season. And George Nicolaides, I hope I said his name right.
Yes, friend of the podcast. Yeah.
He invited me, and he's been inviting me for a minute, and it was so much fun for me. I got to play Jeff. I got to host the challenge. I got to host the tribal. I got to see it from the other side, so to speak, and it was amazing. So thank you, George.
Did you like that, getting to play Jeff?
Oh, my God. It was. You know why? Because there's no pressure, and you have all the information. And you get to watch things unfold right before your eyes. So, yes, I prefer to play Jeff any day.
Has that ever been talked about? I know that, like, Jeff's not going anywhere. This is Jeff's baby. But, you know, I feel like that if they ever went, like, in a different direction one day, if Jeff wants to hang it up, boy, I really think that you would be a great pick for that spot.
I'm so emotional. I don't know, Rob. I'll be crying with the players when they get voted out. I don't know, but I would be a great guest co-host. Hint, hint, Jeff.
Well, you do have, you know, such great reactions to everything that's going on. Of course, people that follow you on social media for years that, you know, you post on Instagram your reactions to what's going on with the episodes, that people feel like that they're getting to watch the episodes with you. Yeah. This season, I know you started doing the couch talk with Ceree, talking with a former Survivor players about it. So I think that you would be somebody that I think that would be a really good pick.
Thank you. I think so too. Again, Couch Talk with Ceree is going to evolve. You know, I'm still kind of working that out. I have to add my reactions, because I actually miss posting my reactions. When I watched last night, it was so many times I was screaming like, oh no. And I'm like, damn, I should have been recording this. So I'm going to add a little bit of that. Maybe I'll add a little of fan, instead of just speaking to former Survivors, I'll talk to the fans. Maybe we can watch it together. So it's still under construction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's always fun to get your takes on everything, because sometimes, you know, I watch it and, you know, you're just laughing at something that's happened. And of course, I'm sure you've heard this before, but, you know, you have just such an infectious energy about these fun moments that happen in the show. And I'm sure that there must have been a lot of laughing going on watching the episode this week.
Oh, so many times. Like, no, don't do it. Don't say it, Ellie. It's so, you know what? I think I live vicariously through the players while I'm watching, because, you know, obviously I've been in that position. So it's like, what would Ceree do? What would I do? And if they're not doing it, it just makes me like crazy.
So, okay, that's a great place to start. What would you have done? Because I feel like that maybe you might not have even been in this situation that Ellie was in.
She did too much. You could see it in her eyes. Her eyes were like big as saucers, and you could see the fear and the paranoia as it set in. And especially when she found out that Gabler had thrown her under the bus, it was all over for Ellie but the Count. She did too much. She should have taken some time to herself, composed herself, composed her thoughts, but she just sporadically went everywhere, and that was her downfall. That was rooting for Ellie.
Yeah, I was, thinking about this as we were getting ready to come on today, where, you know, you've played Survivor with some players that have been interesting characters, okay? like Gabler. And that small tribe that they came from, the Baka tribe, kind of a dysfunctional group, probably... Yeah, not unlike what you lived with in Survivor Panama.
Right.
You know, what is that like playing with players who are like a little rough around the edges?
Well, I'm always a little rough around the edges, Rob, so I fit right in. Mm-hmm. I think the key to that is to... Somebody has to maintain their cool, right? And for you to spaz out and... you know, be as crazy as they are or they appear to be to you, it's just not going to work. So for me, what worked was for me to just play the background and watch the chaos happen in front of me and not be a part of it. That's the key. Don't be a part of the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, such good advice for the survivors, especially. I feel like that the game in the shorter format has really gone more in that direction of that. As opposed to the 39 days that, you know, I think that you want to try to stay out of real line of fire in this very short game.
There's not a lot of time to make up. There's not a lot of time to fix the mistakes. And because it's such a short period of time, it seems like it's so explosive so quickly. So the more you can play the background and be unseen, I used to call it making myself small. Man, I'm a big girl, bro. But I try to make myself as small as possible so I'm not seen. Because if they can't see you, they can't target you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to ask you about what went on with Ellie and Gabler and going through his bag. So, of course, he had the idol that he got back in the first episode. And that idol was going to work for two tribal councils. And they really wanted to vote Gabler out. And so they came up with a plan to try to tell him, oh, actually, your idol is actually, no, it's expired.
Yeah,
so
right.
To me, I want to get your opinion on this, that I wonder if this is a little bit of your influence of you and your friends from Survivor Micronesia. Of course, that I'm sure that a whole new generation of Survivor Watchers became very familiar with the story of what happened in Micronesia with Eric.
Right.
And I just wonder if that was that kind of like top of mind for these Survivor players where they're like, how do we do this type of thing on Survivor? And unfortunately, we don't have Suri. We don't have Parvati.
No Amanda.
Right. Not even Natalie. So, but do you think that makes sense that maybe because it had just gone back on Netflix that people were looking to create their own sort of like, not even like a big move, but thinking in along those lines of like, ooh, how could I trick somebody into doing something that they shouldn't?
They may have been thinking that, but it was a little different because he had the clue, right? And that's what they wanted. They weren't even sure themselves. So the reason they went in the bag was to actually get another look, to read the clue, to see if it said, was it still usable? Is it for your tribal council or period tribal council? So I don't know that they were thinking, I think they were thinking, oh, he didn't read it. Or the same way we weren't sure. He's probably not sure. The smarter move would have been to steal a clue. Because had he not been sure about it, like as they were, it would have been a great move because he wouldn't have it to refer to. But to just trick him into, thinking that it's not usable or it's null and void with him still having the clue wouldn't be a smart thing to try.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, people get, I think, very excited about what they can do and maybe didn't stop to think, you know, should we be doing this? Sri, did you ever go through anybody's bag in four seasons of Survivor?
I don't think. I don't want to lie now. Or maybe I do. No, I'm just kidding. I think we discussed it a few times because I know we discussed on Panama looking in Terry's bag to see if he had an idol. But I don't think we, I don't know, did we ever carry it out? Listen, I'm not against or above going to somebody, going through somebody's bag. Mm-hmm. Now, would I be pissed if I found out somebody went through my bag? Absolutely. But when you're in the thick of it, right? You don't have the same brain cells. Your brain cells have shifted into survival mode. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I might have looked in the bag. I'm not saying I have, but I'm not saying I'm above it either.
Yeah. Now, historically, you have not had a lot of advantage. And I don't know if advantages is a touchy subject. Yeah.
Any.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had any.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah let you hold that one time. We don't need to talk about that either. but where would you put the idols or advantage? Would you ever put it in your bag?
No, because I know, like myself, people may go through your bag. So I usually have a lot of hair situation going on, but I find a creative place to hide my stuff. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. you got to. Yeah, you have to. Do you have a favorite player that you are enjoying watching this season?
Oh my goodness. I liked Ellie. I like James. I like, and see, I get the name. Sorry, y'all, but I don't remember all the names. I even liked Gabler, believe it or not. Like, I'm like, oh, Gabler's a little different, but I like people that are different. I'm not, you know, I'm with everybody, you know, so I like Gabler. Yeah, those are the ones I can remember right now. There's probably a few more that I like, and I can't remember the names right now. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think Gabler has been a lot of fun to have on this season. Like, you know, I love any time that they have, you know, really big characters on the show. To me, mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of the things that's always super appealing about Survivor. And, you know, the people that they find to be on the show. You know, Sri, I feel like I don't know a lot about your backstory with the show. Of course, everybody knows the story of, okay, you were a fan. You were on the couch. You got up off the couch. But was there something in particular that you saw in watching the show that made you decide to want to be on the show at the time that you went on?
You know, it's what I do now, watching them and say, no, don't do that. Or I wouldn't do that. Why would you say that? Don't tell them everything. I was doing that regularly. I've been doing that since the show has been on. And I always, my friends who were friends of mine back then, when the show started 2001, when I got on the show, they was like, you know what? You always said you would go on that show because they weren't doing what you thought they should do. And that was basically it. When I would see them make mistakes, as we all do, I would be like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. Oh my gosh. And I would tell my family, I wouldn't have did this because this, this, and this. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go on the show. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Did you have any idea that when you were going through all of this, that you were going to be so good at the show?
Absolutely not. Rob, when I got, first of all, you can't really grasp the reality of the show from watching it. And this is from a super fan from day one, because I thought I knew everything I needed to know, right? Until I arrived at the island and Jeff is standing there in front of me and we're split up into four groups. First of all, I really didn't think, honestly, I didn't think it was as real as it is. When I went on Panama, it took me like, I would say 6 or 7 days to realize this ain't just a set. Nobody's going to come and get us and give us sandwiches. I thought, you know, we do the little TV acting for the daytime. They took us to an island because they wanted to make it look real. But somebody's going to come and give us some sandwiches and let us, you know, sleep somewhere. And then we'll start back up in the morning. It literally did not occur to me till like day six. And I said, okay, they're going to wait a couple days because they want you to, you know, get the realistic reaction for the fans. No. Nobody came with no sandwiches. I was outside dirty. I was not prepared.
Yeah.
Even from my attire. When they told me to send in wardrobe, I sent in wardrobe like I was going on a cruise. And then, you know, one of the handlers told me, oh, we got your wardrobe. It was hilarious. And I'm a little thinking back, like, what's so funny? Oh, maybe because it's pink. That's what I thought. I had culottes and ankle socks. Nowhere was I prepared. So to answer your question, absolutely not did I think it would turn out the way it did.
Because you were really thrust into it almost immediately, because back in Survivor Panama, it was divided into, and we don't need to talk about how they broke down the tribes back in that season. But you were really thrown into it, your group had lost the first challenge, and now you are in a 6-person tribal council,
right.
A 4-person tribal council right. to start off the game, and that really. That you had to go to work and you were probably the person that was maybe looked at as the person who might go home, and you really had to go right to work in your Survivor career.
Right. I realized that the second we lost the older women, I don't feel like an old woman now, and I'm 52 years old. So back then, that was my first question. I think I'm on the wrong tribe.
Yeah, I watched the clip.
I really didn't perceive myself as an older woman. But the second that we lost at the challenge and my swimming performance was horrible, I knew that I would be on the chopping block. I knew that I would be looked at as maybe not one of the stronger players, maybe as a liability. But I also picked up on how the other players were perceiving Tina, right? Because they talked to me and I'm everybody's friend. So once I heard there was a little bit of question about the way Tina was acting, that's what I took to my advantage and went to work with that.
Yeah. I mean, really, your entire Survivor career was really like forged in fire from that having to be thrown into it right off the jump, and then, have to, play your way up from the bottom back in Survivor Panama. You know, I think that your Survivor career is so interesting. And I think that you are such an important part of the franchise for a couple of different factors. One, I feel like that the show has said to people of, okay, well, Ceri is the person who, she got up off the couch. She's basically like the avatar for, hey, you watching at home, this could be you. And I think that for so many people, I think that that was like a real reason why they continue to love the show and really why they connected so much with you.
Oh, that's very, very, very nice of you to say. And I appreciate that. But like I said, I relate to your average person. I'm your girl next door. I'm your auntie down the street. I'm your grandmother around the corner. So if I could influence, and a lot of people would ask me, oh, I really like it, but I don't think I could do it. And my answer to them would always be, if I could do it, anybody could do it. Mm-hmm. So if that's what the fans got from me playing, then I appreciate that. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah. But I also feel like that, even when you say it, you are like such an accomplished professional though in your, in your real life. And so I almost feel like that in some ways it's almost insulting to you to say like, hey, if Ceri can do it, you can do it too. I think it's like a great message, but does that sort of like, is it like underselling, just how gifted you are at, your many talents and specifically playing the game?
I appreciate that. But no, I think what it's really saying is to be more secure in who you are, no matter what walk of life you're from or what your professional background is. The message is really saying, try it. You don't know what you could do, because I didn't know either, but I didn't expect it to turn out like this. I didn't know it would turn out like this, but had I not even tried it,
yeah,
I think that's more the message that I like people to get. Not that it's underselling, you know, my career on Survivor, but just give it a try. Live. I say a lot of times, I didn't really start living life's adventure until then. So that's what I want to get across. Do it. Just do it. If I could do it, if I had the courage, if I could show all my weaknesses, you can too, because look how it turned out.
Well, that's the other part that I feel like that, you know, your story is so symbolic of Survivor and where it has gone, in that, you know, when you talk about like, hey, I didn't know I could do these things until I came to Survivor. I think that that has really become baked in and such a part of the DNA of the show. Specifically, I think you really did, no pun intended, change the game in a different way in season 34, when you walked across the balance beam. And I think a lot of people, even myself included, that I felt like, okay, I mean, okay, this is nice, but like, you know, hey, let's get back to the game. Let's get back to what, like the strategy talk, you know. But from everybody there that I've ever spoken to, like that was a really powerful moment. And Sri, I think that was a moment that really changed the show, where I feel like that now I feel like a big part of Survivor is sort of like, you know, giving people these types of moments to show how they can, you know, overcome like, you know, this adversity in the game. And that is a big part of the journey.
Oh, my goodness. That for me, you know, I probably, if I was at home on my couch watching it, I probably would have been the same way you and a lot of the viewers were, like, all right, okay, she overcame it, but let's get back to the game. But in that moment, it still affects me. Like, I feel like welling up right now. Like, that was, it was really like a life-changing moment for me. And people don't believe that because it's reality TV and, you know, all of the scheming and the game part of it, but that to have that support and to have that opportunity, to be given that opportunity, mind you, everything for me in that moment was failing. I couldn't even get up on the platform. It was just like, it would have been so easy for me. And Jeff offered me the boat. He was like, Sari, if you want the boat, we'll send you the boat. And it was a very it wasn't like an easy decision. It wasn't like I'm some superhero. I was like, absolutely not. I'm going to go finish this. It took some thought for me to say, do you want to finish this? But you know what it was for me? It was, what message did I want to send to my kids that were watching? That's the honest to God truth. I didn't really think about the fans and the other players. I thought, what would be the message for my three boys if I take the boat right now? And that's what propelled me to try and get across the beam and, you know, finish the way I did.
Yeah. And I really feel like those types of stories, I feel like now are such a big part of Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's necessary, though. I think if it can inspire one person, if it can touch one person who's at home thinking about something they can't do or afraid of doing something or making that next step or making that next move, if it's moving out of your parents' house, moving out of state, going to college, whatever it is, if that can help somebody, then I think they're going in the right direction.
So what's been your feeling overall on, you know, Survivor kind of rebooted after the pandemic in the new era? What's been your feeling on the changes that they've made to Survivor?
You know, the hate in me, because there's a little bit of that in me too. It's like, why do you only have to do it for 26 days?
Oh, yes.
39 days is a huge difference, right? But I'm liking it. I'm liking the speed of it. I feel like it's almost switched to the next generation, right? It's the younger version of Survivor. We went through stages, you know, it's like the millennials. We had the Generation X, we had the baby boomers. We already went through those stages. And now we're in this new stage of Survivor that's going to take us for, I guess, the next generation. And it just keeps evolving. And that's what makes it interesting, because if not, you would stop watching it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think is so interesting with you also, Sari, is that I feel like that you are as popular as ever. And the survivors, that they always ask them, okay, who are you going to play the game like? And seems like, you know, on any given season, you know, 25, 30% of the survivors come in and say that they're going to play like you. And Saria, I feel like that number is growing. You know, I've been doing the podcast for a very long time. I feel like, you know, like closer to when you played the first few times, people didn't say it as much as then they say it now.
I don't know. I have played it four times, so maybe they've gotten their fill of me. Maybe they got to see all the aspects of Sari, and maybe that's why it's growing, but I'm flattered by that. I'm flattered every time I hear, I get a Google alert where someone's saying they'd like to play the game like me, because I never won, right? So for them to, they must respect something about my gameplay to want to play the game like me. And that's all, all I could ask for. That's extremely flattering for me.
Do you feel like the changes that they've made to the game now would make it easier for you to win?
For me? No. I was thinking like, well, maybe I could find an advantage, or maybe I could get a shot in the dark, or maybe I could go up on the mountain and get, you know, the 50-50 chance. So having those opportunities, maybe, but you see how my luck works with advantages and idols.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. I mean, that you certainly have had, you know, some of the worst luck of any survivor. But you know, they say,
but
like
some of the best luck as well, because had I gone home that first challenge that we lost in Panama, you would not even know of Sari.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So it's almost like a, you know, a deal with the devil. let me get through this one vote. There was a price to pay for that.
Apparently, but there was no deal.
No, I know. Of course not. Okay. That's really interesting to talk about that. But you know, you really had, you know, so many close calls with this game that was. Is there one of the times that you played that you were, you know, the most frustrated with those endings?
Micronesia.
Yeah.
I had my goal set. I had my mind set. I knew what I needed to do. And in my mind, all I needed to do was make it to the final three.
Yeah.
Once I made it there, it's like all the air going out of a hot air balloon. You can't reignite that, right? Once you let the flame out of a hot air balloon and the air comes out, it takes some time to reignite it. So once that happened to me, and we only had like another day to play,
right,
all of my air had been released.
So did they ever tell you that, okay, we changed this up, it was going to be a final, and then because of the injuries that happened, we made a change?
I think Jeff told me that, like, at the end, you know, when you're at Ponderosa and you get to talk to Jeff, I think he might have mentioned it, because he did. I'll never forget. He asked me, you feel like we screwed you over or something to that effect. And although I might have felt it, I love Jeff so much, I was like, no, I don't feel that. But I totally felt like, you know what that is, Rob? That's my son's alarm.
Yes.
That I need to wake him up.
Okay. Look, why don't we could take a break.
Two seconds. I just have to call him to say, wake up if he answers.
What a great, in addition to a great survivor, what a great mom that also, that you provide a wake up call, that you set your alarm to call him on the phone so he doesn't have to set his alarm. It's incredible.
He sleeps so he's driving trucks right now. He just went to Indiana and then back to New York, and he's trying to rest before he goes back out at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. He's like, please call me and wake me up. But I don't think the phone is going to be good enough, because I know he's tired. Mm-hmm. So he's not answering. Oh, no.
So what will you do?
I'm going to send my husband.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's going to have to go.
Okay. All right.
Buddy. Can you go wake John up? He's supposed to be up at 6:30, but he's not answering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Good. look, we got to make sure that, you know, the important things happen. Okay.
Sorry.
Going back to Survivor 43, we have this these three tribes that have now come together. And so, all right. So Ellie ends up going out here. Do you feel like that you have a good feeling of like where this goes from here?
No, I don't, because there's everybody's too sporadic right now. I need at least one more episode to see what relationships are built between the three tribes, to see where everybody lands. Right now, it's all up in the air for me. I don't really know. I'm liking the fact that Gabler is calming down and the move that he made. I thought it was smart of him to expose Ellie for going in his bag, because that would make you appear untrustworthy. So I'm impressed by his shift in gameplay. But right now, I don't really know. You know, I have to see how they mesh.
Do you feel like, was it short-sighted on Gabler's part where, okay, he got rid of Ellie, who he was upset with, but can anybody really feel like that from, if you don't know Gabler, okay, and now he just, all this just happened, is he somebody that you feel like that you could build something with moving forward after this?
You know why I would give him that benefit of the doubt? Because he didn't break the trust that he had with Ellie. According to, what's his name with the curly hair?
Sammy?
Sammy and Owen, Ellie, as far as he knows, broke the trust first. And then he had good points. If you listen to him, he said, does she have an idol? And if we're working together, if you're omitting information from me, you're pretty much lying to me. So if he can explain that, then I think he would make himself trustworthy.
When you're out on the island with people, especially people that that you don't really know very well, do you feel like that they can win you over, or do you feel like that you sort of like gut instinct? Okay, these are the people I'm with, and the people that I'm not with.
So if you're real with me, I have like a good BS meter. So if you're real with me, I kind of can sense that. I kind of can feel that. And that's what makes me gravitate towards you, because most people gravitate toward me. I'm friends. Like I said, I'm everybody's friend and I can be everybody's friend. But if I catch you BSing me, then the red flags go up. And once the red flags are up, then I don't know how long our relationship is going to last.
Is there one person in particular that you feel like that you got it wrong about, whether you judge them? Yes.
Let's see. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. I was going to say Sarah, but I caused Sarah to act the way she acted towards me. So I'm not even going to, I don't even think I got it wrong for Sarah. I think Sarah knew I was a good ally. And I think the turn happened with me. So I think I got it right pretty much. I can tell if you like me and I can tell if you don't like me.
Why? Is there somebody that doesn't like you? Has that ever happened?
Well, listen, for my very first season,
yeah,
Panama, Exile Island, the merge finally happens. And Terry walks up on the beach, gets off the boat, walks up on the beach and said, the first thing he said to me, the very first words, mind we haven't played together. I don't know what day we merged, but you've been seeing me at challenges. You had no communication with me. The first communication you want to give me is, you ready?
Yeah.
He says, and he looks me up and down, you must be some kind of wonderful to still be here.
Oh.
Yes! That's what
Rude.
I said.
Yeah.
I said, okay, we can't do nothing with him.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say when he said, hey, how would you like to have 2 weeks off from thinking about the game?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the very first interaction. Yes. If that's your very first communication with me, Red flag. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I know I can't do anything with you. I'm going to move on to the next. Hi, how are you? All right, thanks, babe. You can give me a kiss. You normally do. So my husband, whenever he leaves the house, he always give me a kiss. So he was just standing here looking like, can I give her a kiss because she's on this podcast? Right?
Yes. Do look.
Okay, thank you.
Wow. Sorry, I love this that, you know, you are still you are multitasking professional.
Thank you, you're doing it all.
You know, you brought up Sarah. Did you watch Sarah on the challenge this summer?
I'm happy that she won. Now, listen, Sarah won the challenge. Sarah and, don't tell me. I know Danny.
Yes.
Sarah and Danny won. However, like 8 people quit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time I've ever seen that many people quit. And I saw Sarah on the challenge. Sarah was a little bit different on the challenge. She wasn't, when she was on Survivor, she was more low key,
yeah,
I should say.
Yeah.
She wasn't so aggressive.
She didn't do like the chicken biting thing or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, Sarah changed. I don't know if her win, you know, changed to her win on Survivor, but she wasn't the Sarah that I aligned with.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. You talked about, you know, how everybody loves you, Ceree, and how you, I don't think that's exactly what you said. Do you have a lot of close Survivor friends in real life from your many adventures on Survivor?
So I would say yes, but here's, so my best friend in the world, her name is Gina, right? We've been friends for, I want to say like 37 years or something like that, literally best friends. And I may not speak to her. She lives in North Carolina right now. And I may.
Oh, like me.
I may speak to her. I may not speak to her. But if I call her and say, Gina, I need such and such and such today, it's going to happen today, and vice versa. And that's kind of how my relationship is with my Survivor friends. Like, I don't really speak to them every day on a regular basis, but say for instance, just recently Parvati, I needed something for Parvati. I didn't even have Parvati's number, current number, but I hit her on Instagram instantly.
Yeah.
Parvati helped me out. So I feel like I'm good friends with Parvati. Still love Aris. I talk to Shane regularly.
Mm-hmm.
By
the way, Shane said he liked this twist this week.
Oh, did he?
He mentioned me on Twitter and said, "See, I like this." He said it was. This was a good twist, and he's not a curmudgeon. He said
he's not. Shane is actually one of the cooler. I know he's going to like that because Shane wants to be cool. We know you want to be cool, Shane, but you are. Shane is one of the cooler friends that I've made from Survivor. And Shane is cool, like we perceive cool, but Shane is cool on so many levels that people really don't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love you, Shane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he's listening, if he checks it out.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You know, Ceree, I asked the listeners for questions for you, and we were like inundated with questions. So I want to try to get to as many as we can in the time that we have tonight. And let me ask you a question from the Blue Spirit on Twitter. Has a question for you about the merges. Since you are 3-for-3 in surviving merge votes, what is a good strategy to minimize your threat level at the merge?
Again, and let me just say one thing about the merge feast that they had last night. It was a little skimpy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had like really good merge feast. And I know it wasn't like the normal merge feast where everybody comes together. So maybe they tried to minimize it, but they could have done a little bit better.
What was the best one you had?
Micronesia.
Yeah.
It was so much of everything. It was so delicious. It was excellent, in my opinion. I'm going to stick with my strategy. Do, especially at a merge, you don't want to be seen. You don't want to be the star of the show. You want to actually sit back a little bit, play the background, and find out what you can. Please don't go with the Maltheria. The Maltheria is the worst thing you can do, because look at Ellie. Look how it ended up for her.
Can I ask you, you said Maltheria? That's like diarrhea of the mouth?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Just wanted to double check. Yeah.
That is one of the worst things you can do. You have to observe. You don't know these people. They've been on their island. You've been on yours. You're just coming into communication with them. Get to know them. Listen to what they say. Listen to what they offer. You don't have to offer up everything. Just pay attention and play the background a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that one of the things that Ellie really did wrong last night was that she was, not only did she say a name, she said multiple names.
Right.
And it set it up where then people were able to like, oh, Ellie told you this? Well, she told me this.
Yeah. Instant downfall. She did too much. We call that doing too much. Mm-hmm. She was doing way too much. Like, chillax, Ellie. Oh, man. She had it. She had it because James was just looking for a home and somebody to play with, right? And then, yeah, she just blew it. Sorry, Ellie.
Let me ask you a question from Greg Dunlap. He wants to know about the Black Widow Brigade was clearly one of the most successful alliances in Survivor history. But since then, all women alliances have struggled to get a foothold in the game. Why do you think that is? What can Survivor Production do to further support and empower women in the game? And I want to know from you in this season, so many women came in and said, hey, especially again, I do think very much inspired by watching Survivor Micronesia. So many women came into the game talking about Black Widow Brigade and Eric Reichenbach. And here we are. Five out of the six first people out of the game are the women.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. We trusted each other. We leaned on each other. We didn't look at each other as weaknesses. And I think that's the difference. What they're looking at is this person strong at swimming? Is this person strong at physical challenges? Instead of looking at each other in those terms, you need to look at what they bring to the table. She could do it. Even when we had this situation with Eric, everybody played their part. Everybody yep. played their role, and everybody understood what they brought to the situation. And that's what's not happening. They're sizing each other up instead of looking at the advantages that each other bring to their alliance.
Do you feel like that these small tribes that they put the survivors in to start off with, the six person tribes, do you feel like that puts women at a disadvantage where so much of it is, hey, it's a small group. We have to really kind of keep some of the muscly guys around?
I do believe that, because everybody's idea of going to the next level is we got to keep the tribe strong. We got to keep the tribe strong. So if you're not, you don't have great physical aptitude, then it's automatically going to put you at a disadvantage. And I do think in a bigger tribe, there's places for you to hide hide those weaknesses.
I agree. Okay. Let's take a question that is from Kevin. Kevin is in the chat and wants to know, should Gabler have played his idol? Does it serve any purpose holding on to it? Why not play it for James and earn a new ally?
I agree with you, Kevin, especially if you're positive that it's not you and you can only use it this one time, why save it for a souvenir? Exactly what you said. Use it for somebody else. Gain an ally in some way. That's exactly what he should have done. If I ever play again, if I ever have opportunity to hold the idol, to have an advantage, I'm playing it. I'm never going to go home, even if I get any inkling that it is going to help me gain an ally. I'm going to use it. If I can't gain an ally, I'm just going to use it, especially if it has a limited time frame. You know what, Jeff? Just for the hell of it, I'm going to play this. I don't even think I'm in trouble, but I can't use it after tonight. I'm playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good point. I don't know if Gabler felt like that maybe you know, he could try to use it as a fake moving forward, but he got it at the Shipwheel Island. So, you know, other people know he has it. And I feel like that the word is out from Janine, who doesn't love Gabler, that it was right. expiring. So, yeah, I think that he could have done something with it.
Absolutely could have used yeah. it more efficiently.
Yes. Okay. Nathan has a question for you, Suri. With all these idols and advantages floating around this season and in the new era in general, do you think the Survivor is trying to get as close to Advantage Geddon as they can? And is that a good thing? As someone who has played in every era of the game, do you prefer playing the game with more idols or less idols and advantages? So let me just first ask you, okay, from your perspective, okay, mm-hmm. did you feel like that, not to say like, you know, Survivor plays favorites, but in terms of entertaining television, do you mm-hmm. feel like they liked what happened with Advantage Geddon? Or do you feel like that they felt like, okay, well, we got to make sure this doesn't happen again?
I'm going to tell you, Rob, I liked what happened.
You liked it. So
I liked it from a fan point of view. Right. So if I was at home watching that, mind blown, it would yeah. have been blown. So I can't see them not liking it.
For real? For real?
For real, for real. If I was them, I absolutely would want to see that happen again. It's only happened once yeah. in 43 seasons. So if that made for excellent, I was so
That's what like, it took confused. To beat you.
Yeah. It was so confused. Like, I got to go. I'm out of the game. But oh my God. You know, from yeah. a fan standpoint and from production standpoint, absolutely, they would want that to happen again.
Yeah, because I do think that you're right, because I think that Jeff has said that it was the best moments but most of the fans that I talk to hate that moment, Suri. They hate that's what happened to you.
I love that because they hate it because I was out of the game because yeah. of it. But what I can't even think of another way. If I have to be out of the game, what better yeah. way for me to go out than with all of the stars and fireworks? If there could have been like fireworks and stuff above our heads, they would have put it there, because that's how that moment was. The energy in that moment was like, what?
That's what
I
it took.
I couldn't even cry. I didn't know to laugh or cry, yeah. honestly.
It's like you once said that they were like, well, if you can't beat them with these, you got to beat them with these.
Absolutely. But let me tell you something. I did think after that, once I had like some sandwiches and I got to rest and take a shower, what I think, and I don't know what they could have said, no, but Jeff likes to listen to counter arguments. Mm-hmm. So what I think that may have been another way to go out. So if you read the rules of Survivor, the rules state the person with the most votes, right? Granted, I had zero votes.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody else was safe. So why wouldn't you then reset and revote? Because I don't have any votes. And if you can't vote out the person who has the most votes because they have an idol, why wouldn't we reset and vote again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, it wouldn't hurt to like be the lawyer out there. Sure.
I was in such awe of what was happening. I told you, I was really like, I was shocked as a fan and shocked for Suri. But it's like I was outside of myself just watching this happen. And I was like, what better way to go out? And I didn't think of this at the time. Mm-hmm. I know Jeff would at least have listened to my argument.
Because that night, I mean, you did have like the votes to stay, right? That you would have, that from what I remember, that you put votes on, you had enough votes to vote out Sarah that mm-hmm. night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's votes for... I forget who all had votes.
Yeah, but it was a majority. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe they would have thought about it at given the opportunity, and maybe yeah. they would have changed their vote to me. I don't know, but it would have been better than just leaving.
Here's a question for you from KB. If you were Janine in tonight's episode, would you have played the idol for Ellie? Is there any benefit in doing that?
My husband asked me that because I was like, damn, she didn't play. And he was like, you wouldn't. And I was like, how do you know I wouldn't? I don't know. It depends on the situation. If it's securing our numbers, but so many people were I think it would not have benefited Janine to play her idol because it just would have put a bigger target on her back, because the target on Ellie's back was so huge that she would have just ended up sharing that target.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure if Janine's look of surprise was
I would have played it. Yeah.
But I think Janine is smart enough to know at that point, had she saved Ellie, she would have just put herself in as a target in replace of Ellie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's too early. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, you know, the game, it's only, I think it's day 13. So it's like, it's the literal like halfway point of the game. There's now 12 players still in the game. So you save right. Ellie for one vote. Okay, great. Right. Now you're still a pair. You're still going to be, you know, okay, great. Now every next vote, everybody's going to split the votes and put, you know, 6 votes on Ellie and 5 votes on you.
But you know, Rob, the rule of Survivor is to expect the unexpected.
Yes.
Because as we're saying, what would have happened? That might not have happened. That's what the logical thing is. And there's no logic to the game of Survivor. And anytime I thought I had it down pat, nailed, something crazy always happened, right? Like, for instance, when Shane was ready to quit, we're like, okay, done. We don't have to vote. Somebody wants to quit. They never go. The logical thing is somebody is adamant that they want to quit. They go home. That never happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so you're saying you would have played your idol for Ellie? No.
That's not what I'm saying, mm-hmm. but I'm not 1,000% sure that had she played her idol, yeah, maybe she would have put a target on her back. However, things change. People get upset with people. Maybe those two could have formed an alliance with two other people. There's so many variables that may have happened. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It all depends if I was there and what was going on and how I felt. I might have and I might not have.
Okay, we'll leave it open-ended. Okay, Lucas wants to know that, you know, we talked about how a lot of players in the recent seasons came into the game saying they want to play like Suri. Is there anybody that you can think of that has actually managed to do this?
I think Marianne did.
Yeah.
I think Marianne played her position. I think she had that infectious smile. I think pretty much everybody liked her, but when it came time to put the balls to the wall, her smarts and the way she spoke at the final tribal, the way she explained her gameplay, I'm in awe of that. If that's what I wanted to do, I wanted to do just what she did.
Yeah, she really did an incredible job last season, and you're right that she does have such a like infectious personality. That's so fun to talk to, and she made so much of last season so fun. Do you feel like that's what you would have been like at the final tribal council?
Absolutely. As I'm watching,
I believe
it. Oh, girl, absolutely. I would. But that's why I've never gotten the opportunity to get there. Mm-hmm. I love the way she articulated every step, every move she made, the reason that I would have done the exact same thing. So now I want to play like Marianne.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do? Like, what can you do to change up that? Like, if people worry about sitting next to you, like, is there anything that you can do to make them feel differently?
You know, the one thing, I don't know if I can make them feel differently, because I think if they're confident in themselves and have large egos, they may think, yeah, I'll take her. I'm not afraid. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because usually people underestimate my abilities.
Maybe.
So I don't know. I think the only thing I could do to change an outcome is to win my own way to the end.
That's interesting. Like,
yeah, because I make it there and people are comfortable enough to allow me to get to that point. And then I don't follow through, right? I don't finish what I started because it's usually like a physical thing. And I've never really, honestly, as much as I love the game and I love the being invited back multiple times, I don't really like exercise.
Same.
I never really prepare myself to where I could win my way when I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's the only thing I could probably change.
Well, like, I personally think that and maybe you don't feel this way, but I feel like Sari, you're so beloved that I would say that I know, probably no exaggeration, at least 300 people that would like they would go into the game and they would say, yes, I will lose to Sari. I would go on the show and I will make it my mission to Sari can beat me in the final three.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can you give their names to Jeff and to SEG?
Yes. No, I really think that could happen if you played again.
That's really nice. You know what? Anything's, again, expect the unexpected in Survivor. So as much as I would expect to be voted out first, I also would expect to make it to the end and have the opportunity to convince the jury as to why they should give me $1 million.
Mm-hmm. In terms of players that could potentially play like Sari, I'd love to get your perspective on Carla and how you think she's doing this season.
Carla's smart, right? Carla's doing exactly what I said. At the merge, nobody mentioned Carla's name about anything. And that's exactly the way you want to play. You don't want to be the star of the show. You don't want to be the problem. You don't want to be the annoyance. You want to just be. You want to be the caller where everybody comes and talks to you, but nobody feels threatened by you. She's doing exactly what she should be doing.
Sari, how easy would you have gotten everybody's beads?
Oh, please.
No problem.
Was excellent. And I said to my husband, oh, you know I would get the beads, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought they did great at it though, because who was it? Gabler wanted to give it to his daughter. Mm-hmm. And then who else didn't want to give it?
Ryan also said he wanted to give one. Like, oh, the blue one, I'm gonna give that to my girlfriend.
Take that one. Yeah. Exactly. But I thought they did excellent at it, as I would do.
Mm-hmm. We got to see you play on the Snake in the Grass a couple of weeks ago. And that was so fun. Would you be interested in doing any other things that are like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got the bug now. Like, that was so much fun. It wasn't that physically exhausting, and it took a little mind play. You know what I mean? You had to kind of use your senses, what you're feeling, what your gut was telling you, what you noticed, the things you listened to, what you heard. So I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I would absolutely do that.
Sari, did you watch The Mole?
I did. I just actually watched the latest season on Netflix.
Yes, on Netflix. Yes. Yeah. So don't spoil it in case anybody didn't watch it, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I was shocked at the end.
Yes.
I had my eyes on one person.
Oh, see, I would think that you would be so good at you were good at spotting the snake in the grass.
Yeah. You know, it's a little different when you know a person, right? On Snake in the Grass, as soon as I saw the person, like Stephanie, I didn't mention her as one of the friends that I stay in contact with, but I hadn't talked to Stephanie for, I mean, we may have talked on Instagram. I don't even know if we talked on Instagram, but I hadn't really been in contact with Stephanie for more than a year. And then I see her, but I remember the time that I spent with her. And when Bobby said what the game was about, and you look down the row at all the faces, Stephanie's face was like,
gave it away.
Wrong. And I'm like, wait a minute, why is your face like that?
Yeah.
And that was it. But I know her. Right. And I was able to see her in person. I'm watching this through a TV. Right. So I don't really get that feel of who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's why I picked the wrong person.
Wouldn't they pick you to be the snake in the grass?
I don't know. Yeah. I wish they would have.
Yeah.
I actually said that. Well, y'all should pick me. Why do you
would have made a lot more money. Yeah,
exactly. They said, I don't know, that maybe I would have been the obvious choice or some craziness, but I wish they would have.
You know, we brought up The Mole. Is there anything else that you watch on TV, Sari? What are your favorite shows besides Survivor?
Oh, Lord, I watch everything. I mean, I literally just set my DVR to record The Surreal Life.
Oh,
I watch anything,
the new one.
Reality. I watch all of The Housewives. But I'm like a voyeur. I think I have an inside voyeur because I only want to watch the things that happen to real people. So I watch like the murder tapes. I watch all of, my husband says I'm into the murder, death, kill, but I watch all of that because it's real people. It's real. You get to like walk through it with them and you see the evidence and all of that. I watch The Amazing Race. you, if it's reality TV, you name it, I watch it.
Okay. Big Brother also?
Oh, Big Brother. Love, yes. Big Brother.
Yes.
Love, watch Taylor win. Watch the cookout win. You know, Big Brother always. But these have been my lifetime. Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race. As long as they've been on, I've been watching.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about Big Brother, because I feel like that Big Brother, you are a legend at Survivor, but I feel like that you really would have dominated Big Brother in another lifetime also.
You know, I said that to, maybe Matt Van Wagon, one of the producers or handlers. I said, damn, I should have did Big Brother. They said, no, you shouldn't.
They don't like that talk. Yeah.
I think everything happens the way it's meant to be. And Big Brother probably would not have given me what I got out of Survivor. I wouldn't gotten the confidence that I was lacking. I wouldn't have known, because anybody, I could stay home all day.
Right? Yeah.
So being, and not to say that Big Brother is not challenging, but to live in the elements, to be under that type of stress, there's never been a swimming challenge. You know, to put yourself, to show all your weaknesses. I think I needed to go on Survivor.
For sure. You would have been more outside of your comfort zone, but I think you would have done really great on Big Brother. Okay. Let me ask you winner pick, Suri.
Oh, it's too early because they just merged and I gotta see.
We're halfway.
I know it's halfway. All right.
We're halfway, Suri. It's day 13.
I have to recognize that in my brain, because for me, it's 39 days.
Yes.
It's halfway. I think if I had to pick two picks,
you could
right
pick
now,
two people.
Carla and James.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do feel like that Coco. I feel like that, you know, there was a lot of talk of, hey, we got to knock out Coco. And I kind of feel like that then they almost like did them a favor by like making them go to a couple tribal councils. And now I feel like that I wouldn't be surprised if like the Coco people end up being like, like four out of the last five, just like last season Marianne and Jonathan's tribe.
Right. And that's why I picked James. And Carla is doing such a great job right now. If she maintains the pace that she's on and don't do anything crazy, because you get crazy when you're hungry, you're not sleeping well, you're not showering and you're missing home. So if she can just maintain this pace, she have a good shot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Suri, I know you had a busy day today. You went to work. You made some time for us. You woke up your son to get him up to go off to work. So I really do appreciate you making time to chat with us tonight.
Thank you. Just have me back on.
Anytime, Suri. You want to come on and do it every week? We'll make it happen. But no, this in all seriousness, it really means a lot to me that you came on to do this. What can people check out to see more of your stuff?
You can please keep. Don't give up on Couch Talk with Suri.
Nobody's giving up.
Again, it's under construction. It's a work in progress. It's going to grow. So give that a chance. And then I have another project, but it's just the information's not out yet.
Yes.
So I can't really. So have me back on.
Yes. Okay.
Once that's released, and then we can talk about
that. That I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it will be very intriguing. Yes.
It will.
Yes. Okay. How about Cameo? You still do Cameo?
I had my Cameo off for a while because I was away doing that project, and I never contacted the Cameo.
Oh, you never got turned back on. Okay.
It just literally, I think it turned back on maybe 3 days ago, and I got a couple of Cameos now.
Yeah. Well, I happen to know a few people that have gotten the Cameos from you, and it really is means a lot to them because that. I'm sure you get this all the time, but you know, I think that, you know, that you really are just somebody that the fans just connect with on a level that's really, it's a really like magical thing. Survivor is so lucky to have you, because you're such a great ambassador of the game, Suri.
I appreciate that, Rob. And it really touches me the way that I touch the fans, because I feel like I'm one of them. I've been a fan of the show since Richard Hatch. So I feel like the reason I relate to them, because I am them.
Yes. Do people, like, when they meet you in person, do they, like, they feel like they know you probably, and almost like, you know, are like, it must be like, odd to, you know, have those like, interactions, because people probably like just come up to you and start talking to you like they've known you forever.
They usually hug me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hug you. I was so excited. It's you. So it's the only odd thing about it is, like, I feel like I'm just me, right? Yeah. So to see their excitement, I'm not that big superstar in my head that they see, or that big personality that they see. So it's like, that's the only oddness about it, because once that I shake that off, then we're just like, cool. It was like, hey, what's your name? And thank you. And yeah, it's pretty easy after I get over the shock of their shock.
Yeah. Well, Ceri, again, thank you so much for making the time to do this. This was such a treat for me, and for I know for the listeners as well. So really glad we got the chance to do this. In addition, I had the chance to speak with Ellie this morning on the Survivor Exit interview. I thought she was really wonderful to talk to as well.
Nice.
So I definitely recommend people go and check that out. We'll have our Survivor Feedback show coming up tomorrow night. I'll be talking with Karishma live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So be on the lookout for that. And for the patrons of Robinson Podcast, Survivor Academy coming up this weekend. Matt Scott will join me, and we'll be talking about everything future Survivor players need to learn from what we've seen so far in season 43 of Survivor. Thank you so much for joining us. Plus, we've got recaps of The Amazing Race and The Real Love Boat, Ceri. Have you watched that one?
I watched that.
Yeah.
Told you anything reality. I've been watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised I'm not good with names, but I'm surprised the last girl got picked. I
okay.
thought for sure he was going to pick the Russian girl.
Well, you are. Yeah, you are on top of this. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.